Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Everything that you could possibly ask for in the sports world and then some. And I am just going to tell you right now, we are not going to get to all of it. I normally try to promise you on NFL Sundays that we will get to everything, but it is just not possible on this edition of the show. So we're going to do our absolute best to haul ass all the way through these next couple hours and get to everything that we possibly can, because it's October, baby, and there is no shortage of drama. And the elation, the thrill of victory, those moments with dreams realized and the adrenaline rush that comes with massive wins and following through on your plans, especially when it's game plans and they work to maybe not perfection, but they work effectively to accomplish goals that you set as teams. There's just nothing better than that. So that thrill of victory, that elation, that adrenaline rush, that release of emotion, we see that so much in October. And then there's the other side of it. The thud of coming up short, that pain of losing, and the closer you get to the championship, the closer you get to a promised land, the harder it becomes to stomach that loss or that feeling of what I could have done differently, done better. How could this have gone a different way? What if, what if, what if? So first of all, champions are crowned in the WNBA as the New York Liberty need overtime again, and they are able to withstand the Minnesota Lynx and win on their own court. How about that? Sabrina Ionescu, Brianna Stewart, we could go on and on about what they've done this year. They were a tandem that was brought together in Liberty uniform so that they could help the franchise earn its first ever WNBA title. And that was accomplished in a winner-take-all game against the Lynx just a few hours ago. So congratulations to the Liberty on their first championship in franchise history. We're not quite there yet in Major League Baseball, but we're getting closer. Over the weekend, two teams, the last two teams standing, punching their ticket, if you will, to the Fall Classic, which doesn't start until Friday. Weirdly enough, what an odd night to start a World Series. But when you think about the star power for Dodgers and Yankees, when you count the number of home runs for these two teams, and I'm not just talking about Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, though they were the top home run hitters in baseball this year, both over 50 on the season. Judge with 58 Ohtani with 54. Remember, he was your first 50-50 guy with home runs and stolen bases. But think about the other MVPs that are involved in this World Series. Giancarlo Stanton, who is your ALCS MVP, but also a previous NL MVP. Freddie Freeman, hope that we'll get to see him. Maybe with a few extra days off, he'll be closer to healthy. Mookie Betts, who had a massive National League Championship Series. Tommy Edman, who joined the team in late July and is the NLCS MVP in this series because of his 11 RBI that tied a franchise record. Those two teams, as much as by our gauge, many of you are so turned off by Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series, I've never seen it. So I am looking forward to it. It has happened in my lifetime, but I couldn't have cared less about sports when I was a wee little lass and was not watching. So I'm really excited, actually, to see these two teams and the star power. And as much as people say they will not be tuning in, there aren't many games that feature Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani because they're in different leagues, because of the way the schedule makers line up the baseball season, even with 162 games, you spend so many of them in your own division, obviously spend a ton of time in your own league. So we don't get this very often. I'm going to relish it. I'm excited to see the star power, which always attracts celebrity, the glitz, the glam, and of course to see who wins. Very evenly matched in this World Series. To take nothing away from either the Mets, who rode an incredible wave all the way to a game six of this championship series, or the Guardians, who were terrific this year and once again have taken a major step forward in their franchise and I do believe will challenge for a World Series in seasons to come. And that's just the playoff portion of what happened this weekend. There's so much more. In college football, a matchup between number one and number five that turned really messy. Georgia maybe back on track with a statement victory on the road in Austin against the previously undefeated Longhorns. Weird kind of quarterback switch late in the first half for the Texas Longhorns as they go from Quinn Ewers, who was all out of sorts, to Arch Manning and then back to Quinn Ewers in the second half. He was better. But the Bulldogs' defense was stout, physical, tough, kicking butt and taking names throughout this game. Tennessee knocking off Alabama. I know it's easy to say this is not Nick Saban's Alabama anymore, but Kalen DeBoer has been terrific. Tennessee deserves a lot of credit. And then, of course, in the NFL. Wow. Quarterback injuries being a major theme in this week seven. And we'll talk about those as much as we've got other injuries to watch too. The quarterback injuries always stand out. Sunday night football taking place at MetLife. Oh no, I shouldn't say that. Sunday night football taking place with the Jets away from MetLife. Oh, there goes the perfect show. But it was once again Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on a national TV stage, this time with Devontae Adams, as the Steelers made a quarterback change. And wow, you want to talk about wild swings. A major turning point in this one, and the Steelers never looked back. And I know that rust may be thrown around as an excuse a lot of times, but for guys who haven't played in months, and Caleb Williams has talked about it, right? It had been almost a year since he had played a game that mattered. From the time he left USC to the time he was able to get on the field for week one with the Chicago Bears. The amount of time in between those two starts or those two games. And I dare say there was an element of that with Russell Wilson on Sunday Night Football. Interesting that Mike Tomlin kind of hitched his wagon to Russell Wilson's star here. I wouldn't say Mike Tomlin's job was connected to the success of Wilson on this Sunday night, But Mike Tomlin's made it clear that this was his decision. A lot of people questioning the move from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. But the Steelers, with a huge performance, and it wasn't, it's never just about the Steelers' offense. The defense got a terrific performance from a couple of guys, including Beanie Bishop. Get to know the name, Beanie Bishop, and we'll talk about him. You'll hear from him coming up. But more points than they've scored at any point this season. To be able to do this at home after what was a rough first half, in which you could clearly see that Russell Wilson was trying to find that rhythm. Meanwhile, the Jets still looking for answers. There's so much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, hope you had a great weekend. I would love to tell you a couple of stories about my weekend, but that's not what happens on Sunday night during the fall. There's no personal stories because there's no personal time. That's not true. I had a little personal time this weekend, but it was just as a break from sports. I know other people in the business feel the exact same way. It can be all-consuming, and yet it's great for business. So I look forward to connecting with you at A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By far, more people reach out to ask me about the neighbor and his obnoxious light than anything else that I've talked about on the show in the last month. So, okay, I'll offer an update later in the week sometime. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So yes, quarterback injuries being a major thing this weekend, and we will talk more about them, but it appears as though Deshaun Watson could be done for the season and then some with a torn Achilles tendon. Doctors who are watching the game, they are pretty clear that it was a ruptured Achilles and even can show you the visual evidence of it, something I'd never seen before, but don't ever need to see again. And a tough situation for the Browns, because there was cheering in Cleveland when he went down. But then the Browns lose their next quarterback, and I'm not exactly sure how Jameis Winston moved from QB2 to QB3, but at some point he did. And so it was Dorian Thompson-Robinson who was on the field for the Browns briefly, but then Jameis Winston had to finish up because DTR got hurt as well. So a tough situation for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know that they were going anywhere this season. It had already been a rough 6 weeks. So maybe not the same situation. I shouldn't even say maybe. Not the same situation as the Commanders, who also lose their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, the tremendous rookie. Though, while we don't have a ton of information, there is hope, of course, that he will heal up and then he'll be back on the field before long. But got hit on the very first series of the game against the Panthers, first offensive series of the game against the Panthers in the nation's capital. And while he stayed out there for a little longer in the first period, or the first quarter, was unable to finish up. And so we got Marcus Mariota. Think about the number of veteran QBs that we've seen on the field this year. Now Mariota, Andy Dalton still starting for the Panthers, though I don't know how much longer. Joe Flacco has been out there for the Colts. Anthony Richardson back this week, though. We've seen a bunch of older veteran quarterbacks take over and have to step in because of injuries or otherwise. Certainly the Dolphins being another example. And so we don't know much about Jaden Daniels and his injuries, only that he's supposed to go through further testing for a rib injury coming up this week. Speaking of the Dolphins, they lose Tyler Huntley. They end up having to use Tim Boyle in this game. And gosh, it's painful to watch the Dolphins. Really painful to watch. They're averaging 12 points per game. Last year, they were tops in the NFL averaging 29 points per game. Man, what a difference a single player can make. That offense built around Tua Tagovailoa for Mike McDaniel. And then the Raiders. Another quarterback situation in which Aiden O'Connell ends up injured. And it's Gardner Minshew who comes in, but just rough. I think it was 3 interceptions for Minshew. The Raiders lose again. This time to the Rams. And it's not an injury situation, but the New York Giants, they put Drew Locke on the field in place of Daniel Jones, and there's cheering for that too at MetLife Stadium. Life comes at you fast when you're an NFL QB, especially if you're kind of in the middle where you're not elite or worse. So we have a lot to get to, but we'll start after the break with the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the New York Jets. Two teams at a crossroads, one changing quarterbacks, one quarterback who's disgusted and really not holding back his frustration. Kansas City remains the only unbeaten team in the NFL. They've got no quarterback issues. But here's what I find interesting about their game against the Niners. Even as the Niners continue to lose players to injury, and this was another really tough day for them, Deebo Samuel was sick, so he was unable to play the whole game. Brandon Ayuk, they fear, has suffered a major knee injury. Juwan Jennings was already out for this game. Still no Christian McCaffrey. And I think about the injuries for the Niners, and the team they're facing on Sunday has gone through the same situation in terms of injuries. And yet somehow, and this is about depth, it's about coaching, it's about leadership. In fact, Patrick Mahomes says it's about the leadership from the front office down. They've been able to withstand major injuries to Rashee Rice, to Isaiah Pacheco. They've had Juju Smith-Schuster on and off the field. Mecole Hardman just returned. I mean, they've been a revolving door at quarterback, or excuse me, at the weapons around their quarterback. And yet somehow they've been able to plug guys in, bring guys back who know the system, plug them in, and it works. So the Chiefs are 6-0. Vikings, of course, losing their first game of the season to the Lions. We'll talk about that one with longtime Lions insider and host Luke Braun. He'll join us at the top of the next hour. Again, 855-212-4227. At A-Law Radio. Love to hear your thoughts on week 7 in the NFL. Although we still have a doubleheader coming up on Monday. Stop it with the doubleheaders on Monday. There's no need for that. Ever. As in ever. And we'll get through as much as we possibly can. I buckle up. I'd buckle up if I were you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Crowd the line. Play clock at 7. Rodgers back to throw. Wants to set up the screen. Throws it across his body and it's caught. Breaking a tackle. Breece Hall to the 50. He gets loose at the 40. Makes a move outside. Breaks another tackle at the 30. At the 25-20. Inside the 10. All the way down to the 5-yard line. Boy, get the ball to Breece Hall and let him work his magic.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Breece Hall has been, I think, underutilized this season in many ways. But, man, when you give him the ball, when you use him in a passing game, short passes where he can take that ball and go with it, or he's coming out of the backfield and in stride, you can hit him. He is so versatile. He's got a lot of great skills. The Jets need to rely on him more. And so it was good for the Jets to see him go 57 yards when they were in desperate need of a spark for their offense. And in this game, you would think against the Pittsburgh Steelers, any type of chunk plays like that are huge. So Aaron Rodgers able to find Breece Hall and a 57-yard spark, a 57-yard injection. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It started out as a game that looked more like the Jets' speed. Not that either the Jets or the Steelers were running up and down the field or were showing you anything great on offense, because six of the first eight possessions were three and outs. But the Jets don't score a lot of points. So a low-scoring affair is right up their alley. Right? And so to get this type of chunk play, again, from a Breece Hall who can go these 57 yards and then give him a touchdown, again, over 10 yards, so a chunk play for a TD, and try to limit what the Steelers are doing, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's Russell Wilson. This started out the Jets' speed. And they're able to tack on another touchdown late in this first half on an Aaron Rodgers short pass. So up 15-6, getting close to halftime, when Rodgers throws an interception. And this is where things started to turn. By the way, both of the picks that Aaron Rodgers threw, or that he was credited with in this game, were on targets to Garrett Wilson. Did you see the reports about teams calling the Jets to inquire about trading for Garrett Wilson, the young, dynamic, former offensive rookie of the year for the New York Jets, who was supposed to see his career take this meteoric rise with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback? But then Rodgers lasts all of four plays in Garrett's second season, and now in his third season, while they've had some connections, it has not been a smooth transition. It's not been what many people expected. It's not that they aren't working at it, because you know that they are. Just not quite found that rhythm. And Aaron more comfortable with guys that he's worked with in the past. And I know I've said this before, like an Alan Lazard. And there are times when their connection is not just off, but it's bad. Wilson's going one way, Rodgers is throwing another. They're just on different pages. And so, yes, enter into all of the reports about teams inquiring about trading for Garrett, and twice on targets to Wilson, the Steelers are able to intercept Aaron Rodgers in this game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The first one coming with about a minute 15 to go in the first half. And because the Steelers had no time to waste, you could tell there was a sense of urgency.
Austin shifts to the left, so still three receivers in that direction. Wilson gets the snap. Lofts, right corner of the end zone, and it is hauled in by Pickens. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers!
On the Steelers radio network with under 30 seconds to go in the first half. And that really the turning point. They head into the halftime locker room trailing.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I just two that had to feel good, give Russell Wilson some confidence in engineering a quick touchdown drive. Now, they had a short field, but they scored in under 50 seconds. When the Steelers defense forces a punt to start the second half, once again, you can see the Steelers finding a rhythm on offense. They have a field goal that puts them up in this game by a point. And then the wheels come off for the New York Jets. And all of a sudden, this is a game in which the Steelers are in firm control.
Steelers will rush four. Rodgers back to pass. Rodgers looking, has a man in between, open. Now it's picked off by Beanie Bishop, bobbled up in the air as Bishop will take it. He'll cut back to the left, looking for room. Crosses the 10, crosses the 15, crosses the 5, and gets down to the 1. He's dragged down by Davante Adams at the 1-yard line. Quarterback sneak, Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson No signal yet. No signal yet on the quarterback sneak.
That's a touchdown.
The Steelers think they've got a touchdown. Still waiting. Officials have not called anything yet. Spencer Anderson says it's a touchdown.
There you
now
go.
The officials agree. Yeah, Spencer Anderson says, that's right. We knew it was a touchdown, and it is a touchdown.
That touchdown coming after the second Beanie Bishop interception. The call's there on Steelers radio. How about that? A game for a rookie in which he has not one, but two picks and does it off one of the greats in the NFL, a future Hall of Famer.
Well, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Got a lot of respect for that guy. And just to be able to get not one, but two of them off of him is crazy.
Good game for Beanie. And if you've seen the second interception, it's wild because it hit Garrett Wilson in the chest. The ball goes through his hands, hits him in the chest, bounces off of his pads, and Bishop is able to get him on the carom. When it's wrong, it's horribly wrong. And it's not just that way for the Jets. But man, as the wheels come off, it just gets uglier for New York. A blocked field goal after that, which then puts the Steelers once again in a good position, shorter field on the march.
Wilson breaks the huddle. Warren is checked in. He is to the left of Harris. Now Jefferson hustles left to right, joins Pickens to the right side of the formation. Wilson gets the snap. Looking, firing, has Jefferson, touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers. Tightly bunched formation, Wilson under center, broken eye to the right. Gets the snap, gives to Najee Harris, hurdles a man, and Najee Harris scampers into the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers, 10-yard run. Najee Harris jumps into the stands. Here comes a couple linemen to join him. Oh, the crowd loving it.
Najee Harris instrumental the last couple of games for the Steelers. They finish with a 7.5-minute drive that goes 13 plays, 75 yards, and Najee with the TD. So he's over 100 yards again. George Pickens catches his first touchdown of the year, 111 yards and a touchdown. And the Steelers have been where the Jets are. The Steelers have had that mediocre, modeling offense that gets bogged down, a lot of mistakes, a lot of stops and starts. And in fact, the Steelers fans were raining the booze down, not the actual alcohol, but the booze that you do with your mouth. They were booing, I should have said it that way. They were booing their quarterback and their offense. Imagine what Mike Tomlin is thinking. He's stumping for Russell Wilson. He's made the decision to put him on the field in place of Justin Fields. He's taking a flyer. He's putting his confidence in a quarterback that at times has looked as though his best days are long gone over the last couple years. I know he was better in Denver last season, but not enough that the Broncos wanted to keep him. And so the offense continues to go three and out. In fact, three series in a row in the second quarter. And Russell Wilson and the Steelers are hearing the boos. Only to see them find a rhythm. Maybe he shakes that rust off. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't freak out. He doesn't get frustrated. Just stays the course.
My old mental coach who passed away a couple years ago used to always say, you know, stay the course. You know, and I think coming into this game, you know, we had a couple of things early that we could have had. You know, I felt like it was playoff baseball. I said out there, you know, it's, you know, in the sense of, you know, I started off 0-2 and but felt like, you know, I was going to get hot. I kept telling Coach, hey, I'm going to get hot here.
I thought he was excellent. I thought he got better as the game went on, man. I thought but I'm not surprised by that, man. It's been a while since he's played some ball. But I thought he settled in, knocked the rust off, man, and distributed the ball around and played well.
Mike Tomlin, a little bit of vindication in making this move and this solo decision to turn to Russell Wilson. And get this, he was 2 of 6 for 19 yards in the first quarter. That's it. And the majority of those yards came on a single completion to Darnell Washington. But in the final three quarters, after he settles in and stays the course, 14 of 23, 245 yards, and his completion percentage is 60%. So it took a while to see Russell Wilson in a game that counted because of that calf injury. And the Steelers, with some moments for Justin Fields, as well as that defense, it's been so terrific. Even special teams, too. They've really made big plays on special teams. The Steelers move to 5-2, and Russell Wilson rewards Mike Tomlin for giving him this opportunity and making a choice that maybe wasn't going to be as popular, especially if it didn't work out.
Thought we got stronger as the game went on in all three phases. Man, we made plays in all three phases. Last night we talked about A-player performance, particularly on stages such as this, primetime television and so forth. And I just thought we had a lot of guys that displayed A-player characteristics.
Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers momentarily on top of the AFC North, waiting to see what happens on Sunday Night Football. Nope, this was Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football, they all blend together. In fact, a couple of minutes ago, I just realized that Sunday, October 20th, is just 4 days before my mom's birthday. I hadn't thought about the date lately, and my mom's birthday is coming up this week. All right, good thing I remembered when I did. As for the New York Jets, what a mess. What a mess. At one point late in the game, Aaron Rodgers is trying to catch the Steelers in either an illegal, not illegal formation, too many men on the field, I believe, was the situation on a fourth down. And he can't get his team lined up. He can't get the snap. His body language, his facial expressions, the way he rips off his chin protector, super frustrated. And actually talked about how the problems began before they ever got on the field for the snaps that mattered.
For whatever reason, today it just kind of seemed a little flat in warm-ups. I mean, Sunday Night Football on NBC, only show on TV. I live for these games, and I just don't quite understand why the energy was a little bit flat. We got to somehow keep the belief in the locker room and start a run. You can't win 10 in a row unless you win the first one, so we got to be very critical of ourselves, each of us individually, tomorrow, and then come in with the right attitude all week and go to New England and get a win.
I was listening to the Westwood One postgame show on my way into work, and Ryan Rucco, along with Ross Tucker, they were talking about how the Jets have the sixth easiest, I'm using my air quotation, sixth easiest schedule the rest of the way. Oh, it was Ryan Radke. Thank you, producer Pete. My fault. Ryan Rucco is doing WNBA finals. So Ryan Radke on Westwood One. Sorry, Rye. And Ross Tucker. And they were pointing to that this weaker schedule the rest of the way for the Jets. But they're 2-5. That's a lot of ground to make up in a very stout AFC. Forget their own division, where you've got the Buffalo Bills now clear by 2.5 games. In fact, the Dolphins are technically in second place ahead of the Jets right now in that division. And so it's going to be a tough row to hoe. The Jets have got to find some reason for hope, or the wheels are going to come off. But once again, was it Robert Saleh? At A-Law Radio, we'll have your Monday MVP poll a little bit later on the show. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We lead off in Los Angeles as the Dodgers look to punch their ticket to the World Series.
The right-handed Alvarez is ready. So is Blake Treinen. McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove.
It's over! It's over! The Dodgers win the pennant!
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. The Dodgers are National League champions. After a 10-5 win over the Mets in Game 6, they win the series 4-2, and they advance to meet the Yankees in the World Series starting Friday night at Dodgers Stadium. Tommy Edmond, 2-for-5 with 4 RBI, including a 2-run homer, and he was named the NLCS MVP. Now to Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh.
Tightly bunched formation. Wilson under center. Broken eye to the right. Gets the snap. Gives to Najee Harris. Hurdles a man. And Najee Harris scampers into the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers. 10-yard run. Najee Harris jumps into the stands. Here comes a couple linemen to join him. Oh, the crowd loving it.
Rob King on Steelers Radio. Steelers over the Jets 37-15. Russell Wilson threw for 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. Najee Harris rushing for 102 yards and a score. Elsewhere, Chiefs over the Niners 28-18. Commanders 40, Panthers 7. Rams over the Raiders 20-15. Eagles 28, Giants 3. Lions beat the Vikings 31-29. Colts 16, Dolphins 10. The Packers over the Texans 24-22. Bengals 21, Browns 14. The Bills over the Titans 34-10. Seahawks 34, Falcons 24, and the Jaguars beat the Patriots 32-16. WNBA Finals, the New York Liberty win the first championship in franchise history. They beat the Minnesota Lynx in Game 5 in overtime 67-62. Jonquel Jones was named WNBA Finals MVP. NHL wins for the Kings, Avalanche, and Jets. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Football is whiskers away from the end line. Kareem Hunt gets it. Powering in on the right side. Touchdown! Kansas City, Kareem Hunt, his second touchdown in his reborn career with the Kansas City Chiefs. Kareem Hunt stays in at running back. Ball on the short side, right side of the field. And near hash. Humphrey gives it off. Counterplay. Inside. Kareem Hunt dancing and diving. And Kareem Hunt. Touchdown, Kansas City!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio, and this one was a slow starter in the Bay Area. A rematch, quote-unquote. I don't love branding Chiefs and Niners as a rematch of the Super Bowl since the two teams are very different, of course, in every season. Is very different, but this was the latest attempt by a team to hand Kansas City its first loss of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Early on, if you were watching this game, it was not what a lot of people were expecting, though I feel like with the way these two teams have had to work out kinks early on, have both dealt with major injuries, it's probably not that surprising. But the early possessions featured a fake punt attempt by the Chiefs that was stuffed by the Niners. They sniffed it out right away. A pair of interceptions for each defense. One was a Kalia Davis tip and catch for his first career pick. So you had all kinds of special teams and defensive moments. Where was the offense? Well, in the second quarter, we got back-to-back touchdown drives for Kansas City. Mecole Hardman, his second game back after being on IR to start the year, and he's all over the place. He's got long runs, he's got punt returns and chunk yardage, and then Kareem Hunt powering with those legs at the goal line, just moving piles of men flesh for a couple of touchdowns. So the Chiefs are up 14-6 at the half. Still, though, we see these moments with the Kansas City Chiefs where you know the offense is still not as good as it can be. And Patrick Mahomes continues to reference that. So starting the second half, very first pass attempt by the Chiefs. In fact, I think it was the very first snap post-halftime for the Chiefs. And this happened a couple of games ago too. where Xavier Worthy essentially just ran as fast as he could straight down the field, just a straight post route using his blazing speed. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember which opponent it was, but they got that touchdown right out of the halftime locker room. And there they were trying for it again, except that Mahomes overthrew Worthy by a couple of steps, which is tough to do. And so I think two snaps later, the next opportunity, Mahomes is going to him on a route toward the sidelines, and Worthy slips. And it's an easy interception. And then a short field for the San Francisco Giants, which was exactly what they needed.
Shrua, use check. Three-point stance, fullback, ahead of J.P. Mason. Purdy get a canter alert at the line. Oscar, let's see what they're doing here. Purdy off the left side. Purdy plunge. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Yeah, that was their ability to use the Brock Purdy piece because he scrambles and he moves around and he's a threat with his legs, but also to take advantage of the mistake by Mahomes and, of course, by Worthy. And that seems to be how the Chiefs leave the door open for their opponents time after time. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Doesn't really apply in this situation, but it happens both ways, I suppose. It's just an easier way to say it. Each team is susceptible, partly because of injuries, partly because of a lot of different guys on and off the field. And there are back-to-back drives for San Francisco that end in turnovers. And Brock Purdy himself, once again, off a little bit. He's got different guys on the field. Some are young guys. Some are guys that aren't necessarily supposed to be out there. But because of all the injuries, he's having to work with a group of backups.
Goal to go for Purdy. He's got three eligible to the right, including Kittle as an inside member of the trips. Purdy wants to throw out of the shotgun. Hit as he throws. The pass intercepted. Intercepted a yard deep in the end zone. It'll be a touchback. It's intercepted. The rookie, Jaden Hicks, picks it off. Twists his body. The third time in this game that Brock Purdy has been picked. And twice by rookies. First and 10 at the Niner 18-yard line. Here comes the end around on a jet sweep. It goes to Hardman, cuts it back, and goes into the end zone. Right to left on the jet sweep. Mecole Hardman. In 22, he had three touchdowns. And now, another touchdown here in 2024 on a right-to-left jet sweep.
A killer interception by Brock Purdy in the end zone in that fourth quarter. And so it's Jaden Hicks who's able to snag the interception. And in both cases, after both of the turnovers by the Niners in that quarter, the Chiefs are able to score touchdowns. Now, coming up a little bit later on, we'll go through the sequence for Patrick Mahomes, his latest run play in which he is able to fake out a couple of defenders once he gets past Fred Warner on the edge and somehow squeeze through up the sideline for 33 yards and then steps on a defender as he's finishing off the drive with his own rushing touchdown. So no passing TDs for Mahomes in this game, but he does have the rushing TD. And again, it's a fun sequence, so we'll get to it a little bit later on. 184 yards rushing for the Niners, or for the Chiefs in this one.
Just execution. Obviously, we were able to run the football. That was big. That's a really good defensive line. And the O-line stepped up, and we were able to run it down there. And we found a way to get in the end zone. And when you get in the end zone, you get points on the board. Now it's about cleaning up the turnovers. I think if we can do that, we can start hitting our stride.
As for the Niners, they didn't have Deebo Samuel for most of this game. No Juwan Jennings. And they also lose Brandon Ayuk.
Deebo had an illness today. Tried to go. Couldn't do it. Never returned, and Brandon Ayuk had a knee. We're worried it's an ACL. Not confirmed yet, but we'll find out for sure tomorrow.
Man, obviously just what BA does for our offense and who he is and as a teammate and a brother of ours, man, it's sad. So wishing him nothing but the best and praying for him. So that's my guy.
Brock Purdy can't blame everybody else for the interceptions. Not that he would, but there's a bunch of balls that he airmailed and guys just not on the same page. It's been a rough few weeks for Brock.
Yeah, I think I got to play better for sure. just with my throws, some decisions. And that's pretty simple. I obviously got to watch the film and stuff, but my instant reaction is got to play better.
For the Niners, they are 3-4 now. So with all of the injuries and potentially having lost Brandon Ayuk to a torn ACL, they fall a game back of the Seattle Seahawks. In fact, the Seahawks, the only team in the NFC West that are above 500. And it's not going to get easier for the Niners, but they've got quality guys. Maybe they get Christian McCaffrey back at some point. And later on, the highlight, the high note for the Niners, the return of Ricky Pearsall and his catches. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.